former AIDS scientist who conducted groundbreaking work with HIV. She is also the author of A Plague of Corruption, in which she details her experience with Dr. Fauci and the role she says he plays in corruption. Welcome, Dr. Judy Mikovits. It's so nice to have you on the show today.
Thanks so much, Christine. It's nice to be here.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump right in. You're getting your story out here. You wrote your book, A Plague of Corruption. Right now, what we're dealing with is the coronavirus, and who is the face of that coronavirus, of course, is Dr. Fauci. You talk a lot about Dr. Fauci. You talk a lot about corruption. My first question to you with this is, why are you telling your story? Why now? Why are you coming out?
Well, actually, I've been telling this story now for almost 4 decades throughout my career, and in the last decade in 2 books, one called Plague, which was published in 2014, and here with Plague of Corruption, which just published on April 14th. And really it's the entire medical establishment of the HHS, Health and Human Services, with respect to infectious diseases, which Tony Fauci has led since 1984. Really, my first interaction with him started this journey in this plague of corruption, and I've never really been silent.
Well, that's good to hear, and it's good to hear that it's coming out more now than ever it needs to. So I want to go over your story. It's very complex, so we're going to take this piece by piece so viewers can actually grasp the gravity of what you're saying here. We're going to start with that first interaction that you had with Fauci. We're going to go back to when you were 25 years old. You started working with a man named Frank Ruscetti, who is your mentor. He is the one who first discovered the retrovirus, the disease-causing retrovirus, HTLV. Explain why that was important and how it led to that first interaction you had with Fauci and how you say Fauci cost millions of lives.
Well, it had long been thought that there were no human disease-causing retroviruses, but Frank Ruscetti and Bernie Poise isolated the first disease-causing human retrovirus, and it caused a leukemia. It caused a T-cell leukemia. That was in 1980. It was published. Dr. Ruscetti then worked with under Dr. Robert Gallo. He was fired for getting too much credit for his discoveries. He also discovered T-cell growth factor, which is now known as interleukin-2. And those two things are key to the biology and that first interaction, because he was fired and removed from Bethesda Laboratories to Frederick, Maryland in Fort Detrick, where I was working as a technician there. And I started working for him. And I was part of the team that isolated from blood and saliva what was then lymphadenopathy virus. We had confirmed Nobel laureate Luc Montagnier's discovery of what was the thought to be the causative agent of AIDS, and that was later termed HIV by in the United States. So that paper was in press, in publication, and confidential when I got a call when Dr. Ruscetti was out of town one day from Bob Gallo and Tony Fauci, who asked for a copy of that paper. I explained to them it was confidential and in press, and it would be unethical, and I would not give them a copy of that paper. Fauci screamed at me. I had no idea who he was and really didn't care if you scream at me all day long. He threatened to fire me at that time. And I didn't give him the paper. When Dr. Ruscetti returned a few weeks later, he was bullied into giving Dr. Fauci and Gallo a copy of that paper. They copied our work, later turned it into an international incident between France and the U.S. as to who actually discovered HIV, and millions died worldwide, and this virus spread worldwide, but because they prevented the diagnostic tests from being used and treatments from being developed and used while they fought over who owned the patents.
Wow. So that delay cost all of those lives. That's incredible there. Okay, so years later, we're going to move along in your story here. You obtained a $5 million grant. You started conducting research on chronic fatigue syndrome. This is where you made an explosive discovery. We're talking XMRV here. What is it? How does it affect humans? And how does it get into the human body?
Well, yes, as a part of that research in chronic fatigue syndrome at a private institute, which I co-founded and developed from the ground up as a systems biology approach to look at chronic fatigue syndrome, we isolated a new family of retroviruses called XMRV. That means xenotropic mouse-related retrovirus. So it was very clear that, you know, the human virome doesn't have mouse retroviruses. Therefore, we thought perhaps, as in the days of HIV, that this virus could have been spread through biological therapies because we use a lot of mice in therapy in our lab. We also remembered back to the days of HIV when HIV spread through the population from a contaminated blood supply. When it became clear in 2010 and 11 that, in fact, the blood supply was heavily contaminated, and, in fact, the most likely way that these mouse viruses of many strains, not just one, got into humans, it was almost certainly from biological therapies, and the most likely, the most prominent one was vaccines, that in fact, that we were injecting in mouse tissue, Mises pieces, into immune incompetent little babies, people, and we had actually literally caused a number of diseases, including this is a family of mouse cancer causing viruses. So cancers and neuroimmune diseases, including chronic fatigue syndrome, autism, Lou Gehrig's disease, others are associated with retroviruses. And it was very clear in 2011, in the summer of 2011, this wasn't just one, but many. And the most likely way they got into humans was a contaminated blood supply and contaminated vaccines.
And just to make everything perfectly clear here, we're talking about animal viruses that are being injected, this is what your work is showing, into humans by the way of a vaccine, correct?
Yeah, by the way of live viral vaccines.
And these vaccines and these viruses that have been injected into humans are causing diseases such as cancer. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And it's even contagious cancer. In 2011, we discovered that you didn't have to be exposed to blood and body fluids, which is the normal way that HIV transmitted through sexual contact, through things like this, through blood, through transfusions. But in fact, that the mouse virus were in fact aerosolized. That is, they spread through water droplets through the air and could spread through uncontaminated cultures in as little as 2 weeks recombined to form new infectious transmissible retroviruses.
This is incredible, explosive, and kind of scary. I want to bring it to today because we're dealing with a virus today. We're dealing with coronavirus, COVID-19, and we have been told that it started in a wet market in China from a bat virus, SARS-CoV-2. In your authority, they're saying that this animal, this bat, gave a human the virus. In your authority, in your expertise, in your experience, is that possible that it's not injected into the bloodstream, but that the bat, somebody ate it or somehow infected a human? Is that possible?
No, it's not possible because coronaviruses can't infect human cells without killing them. They have to go through what we call an intermediate host, another animal, a monkey, a small animal that that then attenuates that virus. And from there, it jumps into the host. So there, you cannot go directly from, I don't know how a bat gets into a seafood market, or but you can't go from eating partially cooked bats to, or whatever it is, getting that infection, because it, there's no receptor, there's no lock and key. It won't infect the cells. It's very clear that the coronavirus known as SARS-CoV-2, and the reason it was named that is because the original severe acute respiratory syndrome virus actually had this, the same spike protein, that receptor lock and key that allowed it to infect human cells. So this SARS-CoV-2 is an evolution of SARS, the original SARS coronavirus.
Okay, so now our attention moves, because we're still in China, right? And it's not coming from the bat. You say that's not possible. So we move to the Wuhan laboratory in China that so many people are talking about. And we've actually, the U.S. announced today that they're launching an investigation into the research that's being conducted at that laboratory. Now, Dr. Fauci, he circumvented U.S. law a while back, and he gave $3.7 million to that research facility, that lab in Wuhan. And now he is the face of coronavirus. So it seems that everything is tied here. Fauci is the same one that's pushing social distancing, masks, and vaccines. So connect the dots for us here. How is all of this related?
Well, it's connected because, as you said, Tony Fauci circumvented the law that prevented doing such, we call them gain of function studies. That's working in laboratory, in a laboratory to try to transmit, teach the virus, the bat virus, how to infect human cells without killing them. That's called a gain of function study. So, Fauci funded those studies, as you mentioned, to the tune of $3.4 million. But he also funded the cell lines, the monkey kidney cell, it's called Vero E6 cell line, published in the Nature Medicine paper about the emergence of that virus. It's a 2015 paper, came directly from Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland, that biosafety level 4 lab known as USAMRID, U.S. Army Research Institute of Infectious Disease. So Fauci's funding the collaboration between investigators at North Carolina, at Harvard, and at Wuhan, and they're using the cell line, the intermediate host in the case of the SARS-CoV-2, is a cell line, a monkey cell line that they originally obtained from Fort Detrick in Frederick, Maryland's biosafety level 4.
Okay, so we have Fauci here at the heart of this, but what about the vaccines? And you just said that we can't catch it from the bat. We can't catch it from eating a bat or something in the wet market. Pretty much through your work, these viruses, these animal viruses, are being injected through vaccines. So what's the role that Dr. Fauci is playing here in terms of the vaccine, and how coronavirus, COVID-19, started and has now spread, you know, into a pandemic?
Well, in the case of the vaccines, what Dr. Fauci has been saying is get the influenza vaccines, the live attenuated influenza vaccines, and there have been several publications, but one in 2017 and 18 among the military, which actually said the flu vaccine promotes the spread. That is, you're 36% more likely to get COVID-19 or an infection with SARS-CoV-2 if you get the influenza vaccine. So his advice to the country, you know, is totally against published literature that says it's dangerous that you're driving the disease with the influenza vaccine, and that would spread it easier to across nations, because you shed those viruses. That is, you express those viruses, and you'll actually, can get an influenza, the same kind of symptoms, the same kind of upper respiratory infection. And now you're more likely to spread from human to human the coronaviruses. And in fact, other microbial agents, other viruses, respiratory syncytial virus, rhinoviruses that cause upper respiratory diseases, including influenza.
So if the vaccines are spreading this, if the vaccines in simple terms kind of causing it, because it's in the vaccine, right, and then human to human spread, why would Dr. Fauci be pushing for a vaccine for COVID-19 then?
Well, and even worse, the vaccines for COVID-19, the vaccine that would target directly SARS-CoV-2, has been studied since the original SARS outbreak and the original MERS, which is Middle East Respiratory Syndrome outbreak. Since that time, the vaccine development has gone on. And in every case and in every study, the vaccine actually drives the death by literally turning on the fire, exploding the fire of the overreaction of the immune system. That is what we call the signature of disease. It's that inflammatory cytokine storm, and the vaccine itself can drive that storm such that if you are re-exposed, it can lead to rapid death. So he's doing that.
Do you think that Dr. Fauci played a part in COVID-19 then? Do you think that he should be held accountable or responsible or criminally responsible for the corruption with COVID-19, or even tracing back as far as 30 plus years?
Oh, absolutely. He should be held criminally responsible all the way back to the spread of HIV/AIDS through the country. At the same time, he did the same thing he's doing now in COVID-19, that is, prevent the use of therapies like hydroxychloroquine or low dose type 1 interferon alpha, or any number of natural things, prevent people from doing the appropriate testing. The FDA didn't do the appropriate serology testing that would have shown that, in fact, the virus had been through this country earlier than thought, and we may have actually had in many places a natural herd immunity that isn't occurring with the lockdown, and that people are being prevented from, even if they were exposed, from getting the disease with prophylactic measures. That's preventative measures like hydroxychloroquine, and all the same time promoting drug use in research and clinical trials, which he's also doing a similar thing to what he did, what he directed to be done in the case of the XMRVs. That's fraudulent studies that show that a drug works when it really doesn't work, and how they manipulate the study design in order to drag it out. So and then, because we're not developing a natural herd immunity, the amount of disease and death that's being caused while he's promoting measures that not only don't work, but have caused literally the devastation of our economy, and we won't even be able to count the number of deaths from people who couldn't get adequate care for things like cancer and cardiovascular disease, just simple care for things that have nothing to do with COVID-19.
Why would he do this?
Well, there are trillions of dollars at stake, and as we just said, he Robert Redfield, director of the CDC, and Deborah Birx literally participated in fraudulent vaccine trials in HIV/AIDS called it a cure and led to the spread of HIV through the military, where they did testing and literally knew the vaccine was faulty and said it worked. And they should have been held criminally liable for crimes against humanity, you know, two decades ago. And in a cover up of that, it certainly looks like the clinical symptoms in the clinical presentation certainly looks like a cover up of the XMRVs. Coronaviruses don't cause the kind of diseases. And we're seeing that when they say use a ventilator instead of provide oxygen. Again, the protocols that are set in place are for, you know, a virus that is essentially just a mild flu that clearly all the data shows now. And yet these draconian measures stay in place and people are dying, but it's not from a coronavirus, because coronavirus in itself is not clearly scientifically not the causative agent of COVID-19.
This is explosive. And you say that people want to keep your work silent, that people, the medical establishment, have tried to stop your work and discredit your work. Let's talk about the publication of your work in the esteemed journal Science and what happened when people tried to discredit what you did in your publication.
Well, essentially, that publication of the XMRVs, and then it came out October 8th, 2009 in the journal Science, originally to quite a bit of fanfare, because we'd long sought causes and treatments for the devastating, debilitating disease, chronic fatigue syndrome. But when it became clear over the next year and a half how many diseases and how many different mouse viruses had gotten into the human virome by way of a contaminated blood supply, probably for the entire time of HIV/AIDS. So when Harvey Alter and Shai-Shing Lo published a confirmatory study, that is, Dr. Lo went to his a freezer where he had a box from the 80s called non-HIV/AIDS, and he ran the PCR test that we did in our paper. And the reason they called it non-HIV AIDS is there was no evidence of the HIV virus. These were the wrong patients. They were women. They were children, and not IV drug users and gay men, as we were told only HIV could infect only IV drug users, gay men, and prostitutes throughout the 80s. So here he stored a box, Dr. Lo, for now 3 decades. And as soon as our publication came out, he tested it. They were 86% positive for the XMRVs, for the mouse viruses. This confirmatory work was held up from the journal PNAS, Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the establishment, the CDC, the NIH, held that publication up while the CDC rushed to publication negative studies, saying, no, it's not in those patients. It's not there. It's all a mistake. He didn't confirm it. And for the next year, as the data mounted as to how many viruses had been transmitted and how many diseases were associated with mouse neuroimmune and cancer-causing viruses, the attempts were made to force the retraction of the paper, to force us to withdraw the paper. Retraction implies fraud, and we refused to do that. The Tony Fauci, meaning the NIAID, and this literally commissioned fraudulent studies. One done by that same blood working group under the direction of Simone Glenn of the National Heart, Lung and Blood Institute, and Michael Bush at UC San Francisco Blood Systems Research Institute. And that paper was published in November of 2011 as a failure to confirm study, and it wasn't powered as a as a confirmatory study at all. There were only 16 people in it that I know of. So they fraudulently changed the study design, which is criminal fraud, much like Redfield and Burks had done two decades earlier. They published the study, told me to co-author the study and encourage Dr. Rossetti. If Dr. Rossetti didn't co-author that study, which was fraud again, he would be fired before the end of the fiscal year and lose his and his wife's entire retirement of combined 70 years from stellar careers in the government. So this was what they did to us. And they said, you know, we said, no, we won't do it no matter what. So they said, oh, we'll change the study back the way and we'll put the language back in the paper that you said. In the meantime, I was fired from my job, literally while I was standing on the street. And Tony Fauci directed the confiscation of all my computers. This is September 29, 2011, of all my computers and all my 30-year career, two offices of paperwork, directed that by the institute owners, literally, or you don't keep your $5 million grants and your daughter doesn't get treatment and you go to jail for misappropriation of federal funds, which they did. So it's, you know, so again, over the course of the next 6 weeks, Tony Fauci sent his grants administrators to the Institute, who confirmed that all of the material was there from my studies. And then shortly after that, I'm arrested on false charges, held in jail, and no warrant, no due process, no nothing, held on a bail hold. And all I have to do is say that you sign a confession that says I made up XMRV and I'll spend the rest of my life doing honest research. Of course, I said I've spent all my life doing honest research and I won't do it. I was held in jail for 5 days without ever seeing a lawyer, without a charge. And then when I was my husband was extorted into finding the notebooks that were planted in our home. And if he didn't find the notebooks and return them, he would never see me again. It's a horrifically long story, which is memorialized throughout the journal Science as the editorials in Science trace the fabrication. Tony Fauci was ordered by Francis Collins September of 2010 to do a large confirmatory study. The study design was set November 4th under the direction of Dr. Ian Lipkin. That study design was changed during the middle of the experiments over the years of 2011 to 2012. I was listed as a fugitive from justice at NIH and was not allowed in a lab, and yet I was supposed to conduct this study and validate my own work. The study came out in September of 2012. It was pure fraud. Harold Varmus had instructed that a synthetic infectious clone be added, which would have contaminated the study. When against all odds, Dr. Rossetti actually found the exact number of positives from the only legitimate cohort, that one similar to what Shai Shing Lo had shown. There were 86% positive. Tony Fauci stopped the study, insisted that statistics be used to finish the study, held a highly secret conference call where voice recognition happened over the phone as he unblinded the study to show there was no association with disease. And I said on that call, so there's still 6% of America, which is upwards of 40 million Americans, who are carriers of a deadly cancer-causing retrovirus. And in that paper, which came out in press on September of October of 2012, the last line of the abstract says there's no evidence of XMRV infection. And in fact, table three showed 6% in patients and 6% in controls. So he removed the association by stopping the study and lied on the paper. And essentially that ended my career. And the help for these patients. And shortly thereafter, Dr. Ian Lipkin was awarded a $34 million grant to create the Centers for Diagnostics and Discovery. And that grant was used over the last 3 years to fund the laboratories of Dr. Barrick working on coronaviruses, Dr. Barrick of University of North Carolina, to fund the work on the pathogenesis, how the coronavirus, the SARS-CoV-2, causes disease, and what therapies could be used.
Wow. So to silence your discovery, to silence your work, this is what you say happened. You say Dr. Fauci is at the root of this corruption. This is an incredible story that you have to tell. I just have one final question. You're speaking up now. You're sharing it. You say you've been speaking up for years, but this is really the time that it's coming forward because we are starting to see what's happening with the coronavirus, and we're starting to see more people step up. I want to know for the last question here, if you could deliver a message to President Donald Trump, who is relying on Dr. Fauci every single day as we move through the coronavirus pandemic, what would that message be to him?
That message would be to end this lockdown and end the masks that are dangerous and activating these viruses and literally killing people, especially those with the flu vaccine. We can't breathe our own air. The people who are most susceptible are going to die. End the lockdown, put people back to work, stop this plague of corruption and fire Dr. Fauci, fire Birx, Redfield, completely reorganize, close the FDA that is keeping life-saving drugs from people, reorganize the entire HHS and end the corrupt old boys network that has literally crippled our country for now 4 decades as we have the sickest country in the world and the vaccine program. 5-year moratorium, close it down, not another vaccine. They're killing our population. It's a plague of corruption, COVID-19. It's not a plague of disease.
Wow. Amazing story you have to tell. Get out there to our viewers. Get the book, A Plague of Corruption, Dr. Judy Mikovits. Dr. Judy, thank you so much for coming on America's Daily Report and sharing your story.